is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We know that in the NFL, things can go sour for you quickly. We also know in the NFL that things can turn good for you quickly. You can go on a five-game win streak that comes out of nowhere. You can also lose five in a row. But when you're 4-4, there's all that glass. Is the glass half full or is it half empty approach? Are you more a four-loss team with four victories? Or are you four victories with four losses? But that's where the Atlanta Falcons are right now, right? 500, but in first place in the NFC South because Tampa Bay is not playing up to the level we thought that they would, winning 13 games last year. And didn't expect a lot from the other teams within the division, but they're all hovering around as well. But the Falcons coming off a very wild game against Carolina, who are under interim head coach Steve Wilks and changing quarterbacks to P.J. Walker and got rid of Christian McCaffrey in a trade and looked like they were sort of getting through the motions of getting out. Well, funny thing happened along the way. They're actually not playing bad, but the Atlanta Falcons were able to get a victory in overtime, a mistake game, a game filled with some mistakes, right? But they're also dealing with some injuries. They keep the running game going with a running back by committee approach as Cordarrelle Patterson has been out. Marcus Mariota gives you just enough good things to offset some of the bad things. Is this a really good team? No, but you know what? They are playing really tough. They're a hard out. And so they may not be on they may not be a 6-2 football team after eight games, but they are 4-4 and to be honest with you, they're really surprising and kind of fun. D. Orlando Ledbetter joins us, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, on the Falcons, and he joins us on a progressive guest line to help us sort out this 4-4 football team. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Always. So, I want to talk about this team because we were just kind of buzzing this week about, look, there's some surprises, and this Falcons team seems like they're a surprise at 4-4, but you know this team better, and you know where they were coming from. What is your take of this season so far after eight games?
They've been able to manage the toughest part of their schedule by putting together a running game and playing within the limits of Marcus Mariota. They play hard and been in some close games and been able to pull a couple of them out. And that has them up to a, 4-4 start here.
So Marcus Mariota, I was saying earlier, he gives you some good things to go along with some of the bad things. Where has he shown growth in this offense over eight games?
Yeah, it's the RPOs, a lot of the college stuff he ran at Oregon with the stretch outside zone runs that Arthur Smith brought with him over from Tennessee, and very little in the passing game. So that's where they have some room to work. But yeah, they've been able to score points and elitely run the football in the National Football League this season.
Yeah, you brought up the running game. How are they doing without Cordarrelle Patterson? Is it running back by committee? How are they running that?
Yeah, the committee has stepped up. It's Tyler Allgeier, fifth round pick out of BYU, Caleb Huntley, a practice squad guy from Ball State who was on the team all last year on the practice squad. Those two guys have done the heavy lifting, and then you throw in 30, 40 yards from Mariota, and they've been able to average over 160 a game.
What is it about the passing game that's limiting them? Is it personnel? Is it scheme? Is it Marcus Mariota? Why such a low number in the passing game?
Well, I think it's because the scheme, they're throwing RPOs and one read stuff. And, after six games or so, everybody's got that stuff on tape. So you just saw some new routes last week against, Cincinnati game and then here against the Panthers. So they're adjusting to teams that have adjusted to them in the passing game. So it's a cat and mouse game there. And then they got to do some classic drop back stuff to, get more 1-2 reroutes in there for Mariota. Mix those in because this line is, traditionally hasn't been able to pass block very well. So that's where they're at in the passing game.
What about Kyle Pitts? I know he had a hamstring injury, but there's been some national conversation about the Falcons not utilizing him. Does that go with what you're saying, or do you think they'll start utilizing more, and how does he fit in the offense?
No, teams are, scheming to take him away. He was the one weapon that people knew they had. So the first couple games, you know, he pretty much had a crowd following him around. But in their highest scoring game this year, Seattle, here against the Panthers and against San Francisco, that's when they targeted him between eight and nine times. So when they go to him, it opens things up for other people. But they don't want to force the ball to him. But, you know, they do got to get Kyle Pitts the ball. He does make the offense go. You know, to match along with that run game, you got to have some passing. And somehow they got to figure out how to get him open.
We saw a game that was so wild. It was probably the most entertaining game of the weekend against Carolina. And they did give up a lot of yardage. How much of that can be attributed to A.J. Terrell and Jaylen Hawkins being out?
Oh, a lot of it. You know, they gave up 478 total, 317 passes to P.J. Walker, 62 of it on, you know, the Heath Hail Mary play. But, you know, for the most part, they kept the guys in front of them. And, you know, they got to play a lot of zone now with Cornell and Armstrong at corner and Dean Marlowe at safety for Jaylen Hawkins, A.J. Terrell, then Casey Hayward's out. So, you know, they got some quality depth there, but, you know, there's a drop-off.
What did you think of this team going in? And I know we had you on for our preview, so it's kind of sort of a reminder, but what was your personal assessment of where this team was with Matt Ryan out and where they were going? Sort of here comes Marcus Mariota, a guy bouncing around the league a little bit, Arthur Smith's second year. What was your assessment of where this team was heading for 2022?
Oh, we thought it was, headed down a long walk to, you know, the top of the draft again. You know, it was a team that you didn't have any, the line was bad. You didn't know about the running game, if they could run. Marcus Mariota's track record was kind of spotty on, you know, injury wise and, ability to lead and sustain, offense. And the defense had 9 new starters on it. So yeah, there was no way to predict any of this that's happening here early in the season.
And with the struggles that teams are having in this division, and some predicted, some not so predicted, how has this team been 8 games in? I mean, is there a feeling around this team that, I mean, every player seems confident, but how much confidence is flowing through this organization now?
A great deal. They're ahead of where they want to be. Second year, they're trying to lay a foundation for winning franchise and return to respectability, but they got to do it over the long haul through the draft. And this is the year where they're taking all the major hits on their dead salary cap space, you know, which is near $78 million. So, you know, they're playing with their hands behind their back and somehow managing to pull out some games here.
You can make a good living in this league by being sort of a place position quarterback. You can bounce around to a couple of teams, hold the job. Does Mariota have a chance of getting that, or is that still a thing you think that they'll find their quarterback down the road?
Yeah, they'll find a quarterback down the road, but he's showing that in the right offense, he could be, you know, a mentor, a backup, you know, for these teams that have mobile quarterbacks now. You know, he's probably earning him a spot in the league as a long-time backup, even if, you know, things don't work out for him here. So, he's showing that, hey, I can function in this league and win the game. Maybe not in the conventional drop-back sense, but there's a place for me in this league.
Those first two games of the season, a loss to the Saints and a loss to the Rams, I think one thing that caught people's eye was they were in these. They blew a lead against the Saints, but then they came back against the Rams. But it felt like they were a tough out. Did you get that feeling early, like this team was just not going to just lose by big, big double-digit margins?
Yeah, they played hard no matter the circumstance. Yeah, they blew the Saints' win, a bad fumble there by Mariota. You know, they blew that one. But the Rams, they got down, and they came back. And the way they came back was kind of telling, because the defense stepped up. They got a block punt out of it. The offense, they got a ball knocked off of Cooper Kupp by defense. And then Mariota was able to push him in a couple scores there, too, to close the gap. And they're throwing into the end zone with a chance to win at the end of that Rams game. So at that point, you know, you got a buy-in from the team, and they start believing what the coaches are trying to teach them. And, you know, they started to, you know, turn the corner after that showing in Los Angeles.
Is Patterson close to returning? Where is he at?
Yes, he's due to be come back. They're going to probably activate his 21-day period here today or tomorrow, and then kind of slow roll it into the game on Sunday, and then activate him on Saturday. You know, the coaches be thinking they, you know, hiding the player from the other team, getting ready for him all week. But that's what we expect from Patterson, to have him back, see him back at least for the Chargers game, or definitely by the next Panthers Thursday night game.
All right, it's a lot of positive, but I do want to ask you on the flip side. Is there anything that is being held together with duct string, tape, whatever you want to call it, that you feel like, look, it's going good now, but this is going to be problematic as the games tick off?
Yeah, the defense is a smoke and mirrors operation over there. They give up a lot of yards through the air, and so we were like, okay, the run defense was ranked into the top 10 until Foreman ran through them last week for over 100. That was the most yards they gave up to one back this year. So, you know, the run defense probably isn't as stout as we thought it was. So moving forward, teams are going to be able to, you know, they seem to, you know, it's a bend but not break unit. They try to get turnovers to cover it up. But, you know, over the last eight, nine games, people are going to probably expose this defense as a pretty weak unit.
All right, D. Orlando Ledbetter, awesome stuff as always, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us, and you're having fun with this 4-4 Falcons team. Thank you so much as always.
You're welcome, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Good stuff on the Atlanta Falcons. This is one of those divisions. I mean, look, we all know it that things can change pretty quickly. We understand that, right? And Tampa Bay and New Orleans are a game back, and Carolina's not, you know, two games back in a division that can be topsy-turvy at times. But, you know, the Giants are playing well. The Cowboys are playing well. The Eagles obviously lead that division. You might be in a situation in the NFC, maybe, we'll see, that you either win this division or that's it. You know, there's no other team that's coming from the South, right? You know, that might be it. There might be just enough attrition there that win this division or else. But it's winnable. It's winnable. It's not, the Buccaneers are not convincing enough today, November 1st. They're not convincing enough today that they've got pieces that can just flip the switch. Yes, they have Tom Brady, but they are just not looking good enough to think that they're just one little thing off. There's some things wrong with the Buccaneers. Saints the same way. Even though they're coming off a shutout victory against Las Vegas, if Atlanta can keep this up. But at 4-4, you're not great, you're not terrible, and things that are working well may not work out, and things that you need to improve on, you might improve on. So it's at that 500 level where you just evened up on the scale. So the Falcons are leading this division. It's a lot better than I thought they were going to be when, again, Matt Ryan left and it looked like they were stripping things down. But and good for them at 4-4. We'll come back. We'll talk. Continue through the hours. We continue with Wake Up Call.